hunting expedition to Scotland with Dr. Esterhazy. Judson Esterhazy? His brother-in-law? There was an accident out on the moors while they were hunting a stag. Dr. Esterhazy shot Mr. Aloysius. He sank in the mire. This couldn't be real. He had misheard. What the hell are you talking about? Nearly 3 weeks ago. So what about the funeral preparations? Where's Esterhazy? Why wasn't I informed? There's no body, sir. And Dr. Esterhazy has disappeared. Oh, my God! You're telling me Esterhazy accidentally shot Pendergast, and there's no body? And then Esterhazy just disappeared? He realized he was yelling and didn't care. Proctor's face remained unreadable. The local constabulary searched for days, dragging the mire, looking everywhere. No body was recovered. Then why do you say he's dead? Because of Dr. Esterhazy's own testimony at the inquest. He testified that he shot him in the chest. He saw him sink and disappear into the quicksand. D'Agusta felt short of breath. Esterhazy told you this himself? I learned this from a telephone call from the inspector investigating the shooting. He wanted to ask me a few questions about Mr. Aloysius. And you've heard from nobody else? Nobody, sir. Where was this exactly? At Kilchurn Lodge in the Scottish Highlands. D'Agusta clenched his jaw. People don't just disappear. Something about this whole story stinks. I'm sorry, sir, that's all I know. D'Agusta took a few deep, shuddering breaths. Jesus! Okay. Thank you, Proctor. I'm sorry I'm talking like this, I'm just upset. I understand. Would you care to step into the library for a glass of sherry before you go? Are you kidding? I've got to do something about this. Proctor looked at him. And what might that be? I don't know yet, but you can bet your ass I'm going to do something. Chapter 13. Inverkirkton. Judson Esterhazy sat at the scuffed bar of the Half Moon pub, nursing a pint of Guinness. The pub was tiny, befitting the size of the hamlet. 3 seats at the bar, 4 booths, 2 each built into opposite walls. Currently it was empty, save for him and old McFleckno, the barkeep. But it was almost 5 p.m., and that would change very soon. He drained his glass, and McFleckno bustled over. "Will you be having another, sir?" he asked. Esterhazy made a show of considering this. "Why not?" he said after a moment. "I don't suppose Dr. Roscommon will mind." The barkeep chuckled. "Sure, and it'll be our secret." As if on cue, Esterhazy saw the doctor through the large round window in the front door of the pub. Roscommon walked briskly down the street, stopping at the door of his practice, which he unlocked with a deft turn of his wrist. Esterhazy watched as the man disappeared inside the building, closing the door after him. While pretending to have a heart attack the day before, Esterhazy had a clear image in his mind of what the local doctor would look like. Bluff and red-faced, aging but muscular, as accustomed to grappling with sick cows and horses as with people. But Roscommon had proved a surprise. He was thin and 40-ish, with bright, alert eyes and an intelligent expression. He had examined his new patient with a cool, relaxed professionalism that Esterhazy could only admire. Quickly determining that the chest pains were nothing serious, Roscommon nevertheless recommended a few days of rest. Esterhazy had expected this and in fact welcomed it. Now he had an excuse to hang around the village. And he had met the local doctor, his main purpose. He'd hoped to befriend the doctor and extract some information from him, but the man had proven the very picture of Scottish reserve, with little to say beyond what was necessary for medical advice. That might be his nature, or he might be hiding something. As he sipped the fresh Guinness, Esterhazy wondered again what a man like Roscommon was doing in a one-horse town like Inverkirkton. He clearly had the ability to open a lucrative practice in a bigger city. If Pendergast, against all odds, had survived the mire, Roscommon was the man he'd have gone to. He was the only game in town. The door to the pub opened and a woman came in, Jenny Protheroe. Already Esterhazy felt like he'd met practically the whole damn town. Mrs. Protheroe ran the village's curio and souvenir shop, and since that business wasn't exactly lucrative, took in laundry on the side. She was plump and amiable, with a face almost as red as a lobster. Despite the mild October day, her neck was heavily swathed in a wolf scarf. "Hello then, Polly," she said to the bartender, settling onto one of the two free bar stools as demurely as her £200 would allow.
"Afternoon, Jenny,"
McFlecno replied, dutifully wiping the scarred wooden counter in front of her, drawing a pint of bitter and placing it on a coaster. The woman turned to Esterhazy.
"And how are you today, Mr. Draper?"
Esterhazy smiled. "I'm quite better, thanks. Just a pulled muscle, it would seem." She nodded knowingly.
"I'm glad to hear that.
I have your Dr. Roscommon to thank."
"He's a fine one, and no mistake," the bartender said. "We're lucky to have him."
"Yes, he seems like an excellent doctor." McFlecno nodded.
"London trained and all."
"Frankly, I'm surprised there's enough here to keep him occupied."
"Well, he's the only medical fellow for 20 miles around," Protheroe said. "At least since old Krasner passed away last spring."
"So he's quite busy?" Esterhazy asked, taking a casual pull from his pint.
"That he is," said McFlecno. "Takes callers at all hours."
"All hours? I'm surprised to hear that. I mean, with a country practice."
"Well, we have emergencies here, just like everywhere else," the bartender replied.
He nodded across the street toward the doctor's practice.
"Sometimes you'll see every light in his house ablaze well after midnight."
"You don't say," Esterhazy replied. "When was the last time that happened?" McFlecno thought.
"Oh, maybe 3 weeks back. Maybe more. Can't say for sure. It isn't all that common. I remember that time, though, because his car came and went twice. Late it was, past 9. "It might have been poor Mrs. Bloor," Jeanie Protheroe said. "She's been poorly these past few months." "No, he didn't head toward Hythe," the bartender said. "I heard the car going west."
"West?" the woman said. "There's nothing that way but the mire."